How we doing? Good to see everybody. You guys kind of look a little bit mellow tonight. Is everything okay? Are you excited to be here? Amen. That's more like it. Let's go ahead and stand up. We get a little bit more energy in this room. Amen. Soon and very soon, we are going. Yes, we're going soon and very soon. We are going soon and very soon. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the. We'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see no more dying. Yeah, we are going. Yes, we're going. No more dying there. We are going. Yes, we're going. No more dying there. We are going to see the. We'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We're gonna see no more crying. We are going. Yes, we're going. No more crying there. We are going. No more crying there. We are going to see the. We'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see my Jesus. We are going, yes, we're going to see my Jesus there. We are going, see my Jesus there. We are going, we'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see soon and very. We are going. Yes, we're going soon and very soon. We are going soon and very soon. Soon and very soon. We are going. We'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the. We'll be singing hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Amen. Remain standing. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for creating us. We thank you, God, Father, for adopting us as your children. Lord, we look forward to spending eternity with you. We look forward to the day, Father, where there will be no more crying, where there will be no more dying. Father, where we get to see you face to face. Until then, God, we ask you, God, that you will keep us and watch over us. That you will come and be our rock and our refuge and our fortress. That, Father, every single day our eyes will be fixed on you, God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for allowing him to come into this world to reveal you to us. Father, we're very grateful for the relationship that we have with you. Bless us now as we look into your word. We ask and we pray all this in the precious name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. It's great to see you guys. Let's see. I want to start off by saying thank you to Joseph Washington and to Guy Robertson for preaching last week in my absence. I heard that they both did a fantastic job, okay? They always do. We're very blessed to have a lot of great speakers in this congregation. And it's not easy to put a lesson together, okay? And so when these brothers get up and they preach the word, a lot of work goes into it. And I want to say publicly thank you to Joe and to Gary. Let's see, I got some pictures up here. From my time in Lagos, Nigeria, I came back, what's today? Today is Thursday. I came back Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. 12-hour flight over the Atlantic, nonstop. But it's great to be back home. This is Fred and Titi George. They are regional leaders in the Lagos church. This was Sunday morning church, so I was just taking pictures after the service and during. I thought I'd show them to you. Let's see. Oops. Okay. That's
That's also, I'm facing the congregation now. I took that picture. We're singing. Let's see. Can you hear me turn these lights down? Super. That's Rolaya on the left-hand side. She leads the women. And that's her sister. I took a picture of them after the service. Let's see. What else we got here? This is a couple that Sarah and I used to know. They're doing very well. I took a picture of them. This was on my way out. You know how it is when you're trying to leave church and people are saying hello? I say, hey, how you doing? You know, go ahead. I did a quick picture. And I don't know if you remember this. About 2 years ago, I was sharing about a brother in the Lagos church. He was moving homes. And as he was moving to his new residence, they damaged somebody's wall as he was moving his stuff in the truck they were using. And he went over to inform the guy that he was responsible. You remember that story? Okay. That's the brother on the left-hand side who went and, you know, basically told this guy who owned the school where they had damaged his wall as they were driving by. It was serious damage. And he was very impressed and said, wow, you know, thank you for coming to tell me. And don't worry, you don't have to pay for it. I'll fix it. Obviously invited him to church, and he became a Christian. But that was 2 years ago. And so when after church on Sunday, I met him. I said, oh, yeah, this is brother I was telling you about. I said, oh, great. In the last 2 years, since he's become a Christian, he and his wife have converted 14 people. That's exactly what I said. I said, wow.
But that's the brother right there. So
I thought you'd be encouraged by that. Let's see. Okay. Oh, lights.
One more thing.
You know, we just sent some of our missionaries' contribution to them, so they gave me this for the church here. They say thank you. That's where they call. Yeah, they're very talented. They say the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. It's called Gwinnett, wrong, but that's okay. They're not Americans. They left out the T. And then on the inside, when you open this up, you know, they signed it on the inside. Okay? Just saying thank you to us for the monies we sent to those three churches in Nigeria. Okay? So they wanted me to bring this back. And I did. I'm glad they made it in one piece. So that's a big thank you from them. They're going to write a formal one, but they asked me to bring this.
Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 15.
You know, we all live in time. In the sense that one day, you and I were born onto this earth, and one day we're going to live. Okay? That's just life. Nobody's going to live on this earth forever. Only God and Jesus have been around from the beginning. And they will be around forever. Amen? Now, as Christians, the Bible does teach us that our souls will also live forever with God, as God's children. And history helps us to know what happened before we came to planet Earth. And that's really all history is. Now, I don't know about you. When I was growing up, at one time I used to like history. It was fascinating. And then, you know, as things started to pile up, I was like, man, there's a lot to remember and a lot to know. So I found myself a different subject to like. And so I went and found economics. But history is good. And believe it or not, all the scripture is, in a lot of ways, is biblical history recorded for our benefit. And how many of you love history? Don't be shy. Okay? All right, go ahead and put your hands down. Now let's read this together.
We'll begin actually in verse 1. We can start in verse 1. Watch this. It says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. And this is the verse I want us to look at tonight. As Christians, we should love biblical history, because that's what this is. It's God revealing himself to us through people that have gone on before us, through different events that happen to ordinary men and women like you and me, and God revealing himself to us through this. Are you with me? So, I know a lot of hands didn't go up in terms of, okay, loving history in and of itself. You and I need to love biblical history. You and I need to love getting into this book. Because it says here, everything, and there's a lot in here. It says everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Amen? Let's talk about God teaching us through biblical history tonight. You've heard the saying, if we don't learn from history, we're bound to repeat it. The same is true spiritually speaking, in the sense that if we don't learn from what this book says, we will repeat some of the mistakes that our forefathers and Christians went through. If we don't heed what the Bible is telling us, we're going to make the same mistakes like they did. Are you with me? It says everything that was written in the past were written to teach us. Now, I don't know if you realize this. In the first century, the church was primarily made up of illiterate people. They were not educated. Okay? And it's saying here that these things were written down to teach us. Back in the first century, most of the Christians could not read and write. They had no education. The church was not a bunch of educated people like we are today. You didn't have people, oh yeah, this one went to college, and this one has got a master's degree, and this one has got a doctorate. That was not the way it was in the church. There were very few educated people. There were very few people, quote unquote, by noble birth. People that you and I call were born with a silver spoon in their mouths. You and I were born with silver spoons in our mouths, compared to Christians back in the first century. Are you with me? But you see, all these things were written down for us to teach us. I mean, if you think about it, God saw it fit to write down certain things. A lot of things have happened in history. But God took some very important things and important characters to say, you know what, I'm going to put this in my book to teach future generations, to teach men and women like you and me. And that's why everything that's in this book is very important. We all know the verse in 2 Timothy 3, where it says, all scripture is inspired of God and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything we need for life and godliness is inside this book. But you see, the question we've got to ask ourselves tonight is, as we go and as we're going through life, are we allowing the Bible to teach us? What kind of students are we? God, in a matter of speaking, is our coach. You and I are the athletes in the arena. How often do you think he wants to teach us? I believe every day, through every situation. Are you with me? Again, we're very blessed today that all these things are now written down and we have it in a book form. Praise God, we're educated.
We were able to go to school. We learned how to read and write. Again, think about it. Back in the first century, most of these guys could not read and write. And they became Christians in droves. You see, it's got nothing to do with your education level. It's a question of, are we open to what God is saying? You've heard me say this before. Back in the first century, when they were having church, you know, when Peter was getting up and preaching, any of these brothers, they didn't say, okay, now, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. It didn't exist. Back then, for you to have your own scroll, you had to be a very wealthy person because you had to pay a scribe to do that stuff for you. Remember, back then, they didn't have paper. This is a new invention. Back then, they used to write on animal skin. And then later on, papyrus was developed. This stuff was very expensive. And yet, God taught them through different events in their lives. God taught them through his ministers and priests and teachers. And today, we have an incredible opportunity at our disposal where we get to have our own copies. In our age, you know, you get to have your Bible on your phone. You can listen and it'll read the stuff to you. I've often wondered how much more effective, or let me put it this way, I've often wondered if our brothers and sisters in the first century would have evangelized the world a lot quicker if they have all the resources you and I have today. And unfortunately for us, all these resources, instead of them a lot of times being an enhancement, it has become a hindrance. Because there's just so much that we don't even know where to start. And we just need to keep it simple. Like it says here, that all this stuff was written down to teach us. Amen? And so what kind of students are we? Because all of this stuff was not written down years ago. You know, in Africa, where I'm from, history was passed down primarily for hundreds of years through what we called oral tradition, where there would be somebody in the village or in the town or in the clan who had all this stuff in his head. And for you to find out what happened back 50 years ago, the man would sit down and would start reciting and telling people stuff. How many of us remember watching Roots? That was real. You still have those men today in a lot of African villages where they would sit there and start reciting history. Today we have Ancestry.com. Okay? We got these men sitting out there. They got all that stuff in their heads. You remember that scene when, you know, Alex Haley's, you know, tracing his roots and he finally gets back to the village where he felt his family came from, and the man is sitting there, you know, telling the story, and this was the son of this, and then this one had this, and then on this particular day, this particular kid went off and, you know, he was grabbed by the slave traders and everything, and he popped up. I was like, could you repeat that? Because at that point, that was when he says, I found you, Kunta Kinte. You remember that? He was awesome. Here he was searching for his roots and he finally found it, but he found it through oral tradition. Today you and I can click on Ancestry.com and start plugging in names and all of a sudden you start seeing stuff. But they didn't write stuff down before. It was through oral tradition. You know, the other day, you know, I got something in my mailbox from Ancestry.com. I said, I'm an African. This is for people in America and people in the West. But I said, I'm going to humor them anyhow. It was free trial. So I plugged in my name, and I plugged in the name of my parents, my mom and dad. And lo and behold, bam, I saw the entry that was made when my father came back from England. He had gone to England to go to school, to university. When he came back to Lagos, the entry in the, back then, they didn't fly, they went by ship. When he came back
on the boat, you know, in the log. And there he was. His age, what he had studied, everything. I was like, this is unbelievable. Now, I wasn't tempted to go far. I said, forget this, man. You know. But I didn't go any further. But the point is, now we have this stuff recorded. You know, and I know some people that are really into that ancestry.com stuff. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's great because you're trying to find out where you came from or who your ancestors were. There's nothing wrong with that. Because a lot of ways, you need to know where you came from to know where you're going. And that's what this is, believe it or not. Amen? A lot was written. Remember, a lot of these books were in scrolls. It was in the 13th century. It was divided into chapters by a guy named Stephen Langston. These chapters and books were not in here. In the 16th century, it was actually a printer, who now put the verses in. His name was Robert Estienne. Okay? To make it easy for you and I to read. It was just one long book. The letter to the church in Rome was just one long letter. Are you with me? The Bible has 66 books in it. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Obviously, written through men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, we're told. 40 different authors from different walks of life. Shepherds, farmers, tent makers, physicians, fishermen, priests, philosophers, and kings. And it's amazing to me, it's extremely cohesive and united in its message. A book that was written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different people. And I say that to say, look at all the trouble that God went through so that you and I can know this. Are you with me? Again, obviously it was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek. The guy who translated the Bible from Greek to English was a man named John Wycliffe. I showed a movie about this, I don't know, I guess 2-3 years ago now. We watched it at Meadow Creek, how we got the Bible in the English language. These guys died for this. People were burnt at the stake. People died so that you and I can have this. And that's why we can't take it for granted. Again, like we saw in that movie, it was first printed in 1454 by Gutenberg. And this is the coolest part. The Bible has been translated into over 2,000 languages. Over 2,000. The Bible exists in my native tongue. That's amazing. But you see, the question as we look at the scriptures tonight, are we allowing God to teach us? What kind of students are we? Are we paying attention? You know, when I was speaking, you and I are in a classroom called life. What kind of a student are you? Are you studious? Are you really learning? Or are you lazy and not paying attention? Not knowing that and realizing that there's a final examination coming. Not an examination that's going to get you to the next level or is going to get you a job or is going to get you into college. We're talking into heaven. We're going to stand before God one day and give on the day of judgment, the Bible says. That's the ultimate. And again, like I've said before, again, you can't show me a scripture where it says that. It's not going to be, okay, the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett, please come forward. Oh, no. When we get to the other side, you are on your own. I am going to be on my own. The Bible says each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Well, God, let me tell you what my elders did or did not. God is going to say, would you be quiet? I'm going to get to your elder in a second.
What did you do with the life I gave to you and all the resources I gave to you? Did you listen to my word? You see, and I share that because it's very easy for us to look at other people. Say, you know what? Compared to this person or that person, I'm doing pretty good. But I got news for us. The other person is not the standard. God is. And when you and I compare our lives to what this teaches, we fall short every single time. But what kind of students are we? Do we have what I call spiritual ADD? Okay? They tell us in the world today, some people have, or is it pronounced HDHD? I don't even know. People that can't sit, you know, ADHD or whatever. Okay? ADHD. I used to have ADHD. My mother whooped it out of me. You better sit. You better not move until I tell you to do so. If you move, there's going to be consequences. Well, I got cured of my ADHD very quickly. It's called discipline. Okay? But so what kind of students are we? How well do we know what God is saying to us? It's amazing to me. It says here in verse 4, everything that was written. In other words, God didn't leave anything out that will benefit you and me. That's amazing to me. It's all there. Everything that was written to teach us so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. When you look at this book called the Bible, there's a lot of biblical history in here. We see God walking through the lives of ordinary men and women, just like you and me. Yes, they talked differently. Yes, they spoke a different language. Yes, they dressed differently. But they were human, just like you and me. They walked everywhere. They didn't have cars back then. SUV, forget it. That's why they were very fit, because they walked everywhere. I don't think they had, you know, overweight people back in the first century. They didn't have that issue. I also believe that a lot of stuff we eat contributes to that problem, because a lot of what we eat is processed food. Back then, everything was fresh. There were no refrigerators. You wanted to have some lamb, you go slaughter it, and you eat it right there. The vegetables and the herbs were right there. There was no refrigeration. Everything was organic. Are you with me? Don't make me start preaching a different lesson. But the point is, God recorded a lot of stuff. I mean, when you think of creation in Genesis chapter 1, what comes to your mind? You see the power of God. To me, the operative word, when you read Genesis chapter 1, for instance, and God said. And God said. Now, this is not just some little, he said this, and then, you know. Man, he said something, and billions of galaxies came into existence. Now, that's impressive. He said, all of a sudden, all this vegetation came out from nowhere. That's power. But God recorded that stuff down for a reason. You look at Adam and Eve. God formed them out of the dust. I'm sure when you were a little kid, you remember you go to the beach and, you know, you go out into the whatever and you're playing with mud and you're trying to make stuff. To me, that's cool, man. That's how you and I came about. God is playing with sand and mud. And he made this human, and the Bible says he breathed life into him. That's amazing. Can you imagine sitting there grabbing a blank sheet of paper and just drawing something? And then you go like, whew, and that thing comes to life. That's amazing. But that's what he did in creating Adam. And he says, you know, it's not good for this guy to be by himself. I will create a partner suitable for him. And so he put him to sleep. And then the Bible says, he took one of his ribs and formed woman out of that. And all of a sudden, Adam woke up from this sleep and go, woo-wee! The Bible doesn't say that. That's my interpretation. She's fine. And she's mine. God wrote that down for a reason. God instituted the marriage relationship. Man and woman. Today, people want to turn that into something else. And I've said this one, I'll say it again. We shouldn't discriminate against anybody. Now, everybody needs to repent. If you're not married to somebody, you shouldn't be sleeping with them. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what we believe in this church, and that's what we'll continue to teach until Jesus comes back. And we're not going to apologize for that. But marriage, as defined by Scripture, is between a man and a woman. Now, in our world today, people say, well, you're not very tolerant. I'm glad you called it that. But God has already spoken on the issue. And we cannot change it. I'm not saying we should discriminate against people that are gay. Okay? Just don't call it marriage. Call it whatever it is you want. Don't call it marriage. Are you with me? But again, let's all remember that one day, all these guys are going to pay for this. We are going to stand before God one day. Amen? You see, again, when you look at the life of Adam and Eve, you realize that sin has consequences. It was him who told them, hey, you're free to eat whatever it is you want from this garden, but this tree over here, from tree called the good of good and evil, don't eat from it. And when Satan shows up, what does he do? Oh, come on, man. Did God really say you can do that? God knows if you eat of it, you're going to become like him. And it caused them to challenge God's goodness. And she ate, and then she gave to Adam. And boom, we're still suffering the consequences today in the 21st century. Are you with me? You see, all these things were written down to teach us. Then you look at someone like Joseph. You know the story. But you look at his life. You see where he started and where he ended up. And that gives you encouragement. That gives me encouragement. You know what? God has got a plan. I may not understand everything. I will not see everything. But at the end, it's going to work out for my benefit. You look at the story of Moses and the Israelites. Say, man, God's favor is really on his people. That's what that story tells me. Just like you and I are God's children. Those guys back then were God's children. And his favor was upon them. In the New Testament, the same word, we call it grace. Are you with me? Then you look at books like Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And you see all these laws that God gave them, not to try and steal their fun, but they were designed to guide them and to preserve them as a nation. It's amazing. I mean, you look at in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and it talks about how, for instance, if somebody's got some kind of skin disease, put them in quarantine. They shouldn't come and mix with everybody else. How did they know that? God told them. Way back then. And there's no doubt in my mind that God preserved them as a nation. Why? Because it was through them that he was going to come into this world in human form. You see, all this stuff was written down for our benefit. You look at the apostles. Ordinary, unschooled men. Fishermen. That was what they were, but some of them were by profession. Chief tax collector in Matthew. And you look at men like that, it gives me encouragement that, you know what, if God could use Peter, I can be used. If someone like Paul, who used to persecute Christians, can change and become a powerful preacher and write most of the New Testament, there's hope for me. I haven't killed any Christians yet. I haven't locked anybody yet. I haven't locked up anybody yet for their faith. If God can use that guy, there's hope for me. If God can use Paul, God can use anybody. Then you look at the cross and everything Jesus had to go through. The floggings that he received, where you and I totally understand the consequences of all the sins that we've committed. And instead of issuing out judgment on us, his attitude was, Father, forgive them. They have no clue what they're doing. People are screaming at him, telling him to come down from the cross if he was the Son of God. The two thieves that were buried, that's not buried, they were crucified next to him, are pouring on insults. Now, praise God, one of them came to his senses and said, enough. He's telling the other thief, don't you fear God? You and I are justly here, but this man has done nothing wrong. And then he looked at Jesus and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. The guy who snuck in. God doesn't even tell us his name. I think if God, let's assume his name was Stephen. Okay, I'm picking it on you for a reason. Stephen leads the Campus Brothers. Let's assume his name was Stephen. When I get to the other side, hey, where's that guy that I read about in Luke? Where's Stephen? I won't say, where's the thief on the cross? I won't say, where's Stephen? That thief. Hey, how you doing, man? It's nice to meet your acquaintance. Man, you barely made it in, huh? By the way, what did you do? Why did they crucify you? What did you steal? We don't know. But he's going to be on the other side. He's one of the first people I want to talk to when we get to the other side. After Abraham. Okay, that's just me. But you see, all these things were written down for our benefit. And then you read Revelation. And most of it has already happened. But the end of it, talking about the new Jerusalem and the new heaven that you and I are going to inherit, that gives us hope. All these things were written down for a reason. The Bible teaches us about how to have a great marriage. Amen? Because you've heard me say it so many times, and I'll say it again. What is marriage? Two sinners coming together. And when two sinners come together, there's going to be some sin. It's not rocket science. But God, through his word, tells us how to live with each other, how to treat one another. You know, I got very convicted this week, even on the way back, as I was reading my Bible on the plane. And I'm going to talk about this on Sunday, but I'm going to give you a little whatever right now. It's amazing to me that when Jesus came into this world, obviously he had all authority. God gave him all the authority. As a matter of fact, this universe was created by him. That's what he talks about in Hebrews chapter 1. He had all authority. And never once did Jesus abuse the authority God had given to him. And when I think about the authority God has given me as a husband, how many times I have abused that? Oh, don't get me started. This guy, I got to wait till Sunday to talk about this one. It's very convicting. when you think about the authority God has given you as a parent and the responsibility to raise these children up, to really be in there and be engaged, and to teach them God, and to show them God the way you and I live. Are we abusing that authority? Jesus didn't. Oh, I can't wait till Sunday. How about purity? The Bible has a lot to say about it in terms of our minds and what we put in it. Garbage in, garbage out. What are we feeding our minds through the TV and whatever video games? If I was one of a few people on this earth, let me tell you, all these video game companies, they will not exist. I don't play video games. Never have. He said, Richard, what are you saying? Well, it's not a sin to play video games. But if you're spending more time playing games and video games than reading your Bible or praying, you got a problem. I'm sorry. You got some serious issues. What do you think we're going to be doing for eternity? You think you're going to be dead? You think you're going to be sitting up in the heaven one day in your own room, you know, with your PlayStation and flicking your fingers? I don't know what Bible you're reading. I'm very serious. And I bring that up because we're wasting so much time. This life is short. 60, 70 years. 80, 90, if you're lucky. I think it was yesterday they were saying the oldest person in the world, some Japanese guy, just died at 116. I don't know about you. I don't want to live to 116. I'm sorry. I'm ready to go to the other side. It's awesome on the other side. Amen? I don't want to stay on this side of earth, going through from one sickness to the next. What kind of a life is that? You see, it's all perspective. The Bible gives us perspective. How about our attitude towards work? The work that God has given us to do. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. You see, people are like, oh, there's unemployment, or I'm looking for a job, and, you know, then, you know, somebody gets a job, and then you go in there, and you're trying to interact with them, and they've got a lousy attitude. I'm like, I can't believe this. I'm sure you were crying, and you were begging, and now you got this job, and now look at your attitude. You come in here tardy, you come in here late, you're not doing your work like you're supposed to. Sometimes I look at people like, guys, you know, if I own this place, I would fire you immediately. Because the attitude stinks. But again, the Bible teaches you and me how to approach work and the attitude we need to have about it. Amen? The Bible teaches us endurance. And the lives of men and women that have gone before us ought to inspire us. Because these guys finished their own race. And so I can finish my own race. I got no excuse. If anything, I have so many more resources today than they did. And I got to take advantage of it. I mean, here, I just came back from the other side of the world. 12 and a half hours, actually. Back in the first century, it would take them months to travel by boat to get to a destination. Now, I don't know about, that's why they called it missionary journeys. Okay? I'm not going to lie to you. Oh, Richard, we need you to go over here to Zambia, and how long is it going to take? Well, it's going to take you 4 months. Send somebody else. I can count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 30 days in a month, multiply that 3 times 4, that's 120 days. You have got to be kidding me. I am so thankful God did not create me back in the first century. Okay, I pray those kind of prayers. I'm thankful. Now, I can get on a plane, You can sit there. You can recline the seat. They'll even come and feed you. Beef or chicken. These are the options you have. He's always, I've always wondered, what did they even ask? It's always beef or chicken. Except, you know, if you're vegetarian, then they'll give you a vegetarian meal. But it's amazing. And then they have this little screen now in front of you, and you're able to watch your own TV. You can watch shows, you can watch movies to kill the time. 12 hours is a long time. Okay? But back in the first century, they didn't have all this stuff. They didn't have the weather channel telling them, okay, yeah, Paul, there's going to be a storm around this time. No. These guys were shipwrecked as they were trying to go around the place preaching God's word. And I say all this stuff to say, you know what? We have it so much more and better today. And are we taking advantage of it? Are we thankful to God for it? Or are we just busy complaining? It shouldn't be that way. Are you going to quit before your race is over? Because everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. So that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, you and I may have hope. That's the only verse I'm reading tonight. Because there's a lot in here. You know, we learn through life by persevering. You know, I know a lot of times, you know, we look at people's lives and, you know, they're smiling and we think, man, if I just had Steve Collier's life, then I'd be happy. Man, if I just lived in the neighborhood where that sister lives, then I'd be really happy. No, you wouldn't. You have no idea what Steve is going through. You have no idea what that sister is going through. You have no idea what the things he grew up with, how they shaped who he is as a person. You know, when I was growing up, when I was growing up, he's 13 years older than me. My favorite basketball player, and still is Dr. J. This was before Michael Jordan and LeBron and all these guys. Dr. J, Julius Irving, the doctor. And as I was getting ready to leave to go to Nigeria, I saw someone on TV that they were going to do a thing on him on NBA TV. And so I recorded it. I saw it last night. It was very inspiring. He lives in Atlanta, by the way. And I Googled his name. I got his address. Pray for me. I'm gonna show up at his doorstep and introduce myself. But you know, you watch someone like that on TV, you don't know what all the different things they've gone through. In the documentary, they were saying how he had a younger brother that he was very close to growing up, and he died at the age of 19 from lupus. I didn't know that. All I saw was Dr. J on TV playing basketball, and when I came to this country, I was able to see him in Madison Square Garden. I came with a bunch of guys from work. We took the train to Connecticut, to New York, and I was like a kid in a candy store. I walked in, I go, look, see how tall these guys are. Hey, I'm from Africa, man. We don't grow that tall. And when you see people at 6'8", 6'7", 6'10", it's like unbelievable. But anyway, I remember seeing him for the first time with my two eyes, and I'm like, wow. They were playing the New York Knicks. But that was my hero. And then to come find out, you know, obviously he got married and had kids, and then he lost one of his kids at the age of 19 also. I did not know that. And then you look at someone like that through all the stuff he's gone through in life, and you see him now. But I didn't know all these different things he had gone through. I mean, the guy was something else. I got some old pictures here. Oh, I got to turn this on. Is it a fro, baby? When I was a kid, I tried to do this. It just wouldn't come out that, you know. That, hey, stop laughing, man. This was the thing back in the 70s. If in the 70s, you needed to have a fro. Okay? This guy was flying through the air before Michael Jordan knew what a basketball was. That's what he looks like now. He's 63 years old. He lives right here in Atlanta. But you see, I share his story simply because a lot of times we look at people like that from afar. You have no idea what they've gone through. And all I'm saying is we got to allow whatever it is we've gone through, God has allowed us to go through those things to shape us as people and to fortify our characters. Because it is through those lessons that you and I become everything that God put us on this earth to become in the first place. And the cool thing about that is, you know, God will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's what it says in Scripture. So every experience you and I have is there for a reason. Amen? But you see, the Bible is designed to encourage us. Are the Scriptures encouraging you to stay in the fight? Where does your encouragement come from? Is it coming from the Bible? Is it coming from God? Is it coming from all the different lessons that God is teaching you? Or is it coming from you making more money? Or you having a better job? Because remember, all these things, brothers and sisters, they are all temporary. God is spiritual. God is eternal. Amen? There is a season and a time for everything. You know, when I look at God's faithfulness throughout the Scriptures, through all the men and women that you and I read about, it teaches me that God is faithful. That God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. This is the same God that they called on. The same God of Abraham. The same God of Isaac. The same God of Jacob. The same God who spoke through Moses in the burning bush. The same God who led them through the Red Sea. Same God that you talk to every day. Oh, I want to start dancing. Oh! It excites me. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. That you and I can get to know this God. What a privilege. Are you hopeful? Because the Bible will change your outlook on life and on things if you would let it. If you look at the history of the Israelites, God's children, it's very similar to ours. Or let me put it this way. Ours is very similar to theirs. God chose them to be his treasured possession. That's what you and I are. The Bible says you and I are co-heirs with Christ. I'm in the family, baby. I'm getting some of that inheritance. Oh, that's sweet. You didn't hear me. You're in the family. Co-heirs with Christ. God made promises, many promises to them. That he will always be with them. He's made many promises to us. As a matter of fact, what you and I have is actually a lot better than what they had in the Old Testament, in the sense that now that we're God's children, he's got a little bit of himself in us, called the Holy Spirit. When I was a young Christian, there was a song we used to sing. It is the Spirit of the Lord that is keeping me alive. The devil doesn't like it, but it's keeping me alive. You know, I feel it in my hands, and it's keeping me alive. God gave them wonderful laws to guide them. He's done the same with us. God called them to totally trust him. He's done the same with us. Now, he disciplined them when they grumbled and complained. Guess what? He does the same with us. And for me, it's exciting that he used ordinary people. Just like you and me. And he's doing the same with us. There's no halo around my head. There's no halo around yours. If you see a halo, then you're seeing stuff. You need to go get your eyes examined. That only works in books. Ordinary unschooled men and women. But you see, brothers and sisters, our promised land beckons. Heaven. It's not a physical place, it's a spiritual place. Amen? I see a lot of us, you know, including me, I got a little gold trinket bracelet. You know, some of us have it around our necks and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. On heaven, you're going to be stepping on it. That's all it's good for up there. You know, these days, in the last few years, I don't know if you noticed, you see all these signs. We buy gold. I wonder what they're going to do when we get to the other side. You're going to be selling pavement? Thanks, but no thanks. It's not worth anything up there. Amen? But God has written all this stuff down to teach us all these different lessons, brothers and sisters. And so again, I've said all that to say this. If you do nothing else this summer, get into your Bible. Allow God to teach you. Let God talk to you. You say, I don't know where to begin. Then talk to somebody. Amen? I'm looking forward to getting to the book of Hebrews again this summer and just taking it apart like I've never done before. I'm still on the first four verses. Get into your Bible. Let God talk to you. Let God teach you. And as we learn those things, let's put them into practice. Have the best summer you've ever had, spiritually speaking. Yeah, it's going to be hot outside. Then, amen. Thank God for air conditioning. You know, go find yourself a nice air-conditioned spot and just open up your Bible. Amen? Or plug it into that smartphone you got and let listen to God's word. And then you and I need to practice those things and you watch what happens. Amen? We'll see you Sunday morning. Sunday morning is Father's Day and it's going to be a great time. Amen? God bless.